Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon, and thank you for tuning in and catching my drift here on Wham Talk 1600. Joining me in the studio today, the always esteemed Brandon Drake. Drake.
How you doing, my brother?
Good. Good to have you aboard once again.
Thanks, man.
That's what I like about Saturdays. You guys are never here when I was on Sundays.
Well, it's too early, too.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, there's no way I'm getting up for that.
Tell me about it. Derek, did we do Sundays for 18 months, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Just over a year, I think.
It's like a marathon of getting up.
We got the upgrade.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I'm very happy, too, because I haven't had my caffeine yet today, and I'm just about to indulge.
Yeah, this is like a second go-round for me. I come in here on Saturdays, and I'm like, oh, third and fourth cup of coffee. So I get all jacked up and come in here. Start jacking away.
Yeah, I was jacked up last Saturday, as you know, over at Snowden and drinking coffee.
And we will delve into Mr. Snowden again later on.
Let's say happy birthday to Derek Stone, even though it was in May. You know, we celebrated it yesterday here at the station.
There we go. We did have the quarterly birthday party, and happy birthday, Derek, because, you know, obviously I missed it back in May. Shame on me. But shame on you for not telling me, because you know what? As we said, lounge singing was my ultimate objective in life. I may still get there, and I would have sung happy birthday for you, maybe next year.
Are you going to sing it like Marilyn Monroe did to then-President Kennedy?
I'll put a little more passion into it than that.
More passion? Whoa, that's scary.
A little more passion. Let's take care of some business. Our sponsor this half hour is the Aero Companies, AARO. Doing facility services since 1945. They do window cleaning, commercial building maintenance, commercial janitorial supply. And you can call Vicky or email Vicky, V-I-C-K-I, at Aero, A-A-R-O, companies.com. Aero is actually looking to hire some people. They have a bank cleaning position open right now, and probably some other positions maybe too. So you can call them, 586-759-3700. Ask for Vicky and tell them that you're have a question about the jobs that they may have available. So that's the Aero Companies, doing facility services since 1945. It's great that they decided to advertise. They wanted to advertise. They go to the Drift. They saw it. They wanted to advertise on the Drift. And I said, hey, you know, I do radio as well. So they jumped in and thanked them very much for the sponsorship. So that's pretty awesome.
So they're listed on the dailydrift.com.
Exactly. They are. You can go to the dailydrift.com and get that same information right at the top of the page for Aero Companies and hiring. Excellent. They got a job open. So call them up. Check it out. And as always, what we do every week here at The Drift is recap the stories and events of the week from The Daily Drift, which is a website that I do spend oodles of time on it that I probably should not, but do. To bring the news that you need to know to the public. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to find a quick way to get the headlines that you really should be reading, go to the Daily Drift, because I go through the internet and I find those stories that you're not going to get at the mainstream media. You won't even get them at Fox News sometimes. So we're going to talk a little bit about Fox News later on as well. So, but that's what we've got going there. I wanted to get into the Medicaid expansion. And I think we're going to put most of that off till next week. I've got Jack McHugh I'm in contact with, and he couldn't really call in today because he's on vacation, unless this is him there, in which case we will get into it.
We'll put him to the front of the line.
Yeah, if he did call in from vacation, that's one heck of a guy calling in from a family vacation. He's at the beach or something, so it'd be awesome if that's what he does. But what happened else around the station this week? Anything good?
Well, we had the birthday party, like a quarterly luncheon birthday party for several people here at the station. It was, as we mentioned, Derek Stone, Dave Janda, Glenn Sylvanus, Reverend Pastor Ewell, several people. So it was a great time.
Right.
It was a great time. Right. Pat the Handyman.
There we go. Yeah. Good. Well, we are going to go into Medicaid expansion here in Michigan with Jack McHugh from Michigan Capital Confidential. And if you're not going to Michigan CapCon, you need to be going to Michigan CapCon. I put all the links on the Daily Drift, and they actually have a page in the Current newspaper every month because, you know what, they're that good. They really are. Jack, welcome. How are you today?
Hey, Kerry. Good, thanks.
Great.
Thanks for the chance to talk.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could call in. I'm sorry I butt into your vacation like this, but You know?
You didn't butt in very far because I'm sitting on the beach in glorious Grand Beach, Michigan, on Lake Michigan, watching boats go by.
Nice. Nice. That's a great area. I've been right there. That's a beautiful spot. So, Jack, you had a great article in MichCapCon. You have a lot of great articles on MichCapCon, by the way. A big fan of yours. Medicaid expansion in Michigan, from my viewpoint, and I'm biased, of course, it's not a good idea. And the article that you put out this week gives us one of the good reasons why it is not a good idea. Do you want to explain a little bit about the lobbyists and Medicaid expansion?
Yeah, I would love to, because this is a story that's not getting told by the mainstream media. I know everyone will be shocked to hear that, which is, why are Michigan legislators suddenly in such an all-fired hurry and passion to do this major expansion of a problematic medical welfare program, one that doesn't really work all that well for the taxpayers or the people on the program? And, of course, the expansion is wrapped up with Obamacare, and it's kind of, I view it as kind of the lower rungs of the Obamacare subsidy ladder. But you know, the problem that it's seeking to solve, which is providing medical welfare benefits for low-income people who don't qualify for the current Medicaid, that's a problem that hasn't appeared suddenly. So what's really going on here is that the Michigan's hospitals, the hospital establishment, some are calling now the hospital industrial complex, they stand to gain $2 billion next year, starting January 1, 2014, which will increase to $3 billion within just a couple of years, in the form of managed care contracts for a huge influx of new Medicaid beneficiaries who would come in under the Obamacare regime. And they are positively salivating over all this new revenue that's going to start flowing their way, just 6 months from now. But only if the Michigan legislature passes a bill to allow it to happen. A lot of the explanations for why we're doing this, well, it's the law, it's Obamacare. Well, actually, the Supreme Court said states don't have to do this. It's up to the states. 19 states are not going to do it. Another 6 are leaning against. Another explanation, well, it's for the poor. Well, okay, but you know what? There's other ways to address this problem. Senator Bruce Casperson has introduced a bill to address it in a different way that doesn't turn over Michigan's program to basically federal, forever playing Mother May I with the feds every time you want to make a change to the program. So what's really going on here? Why are legislators suddenly so urgent? So we have to do this. We have to take this up. And even the governor, we have to do it this summer. We have to do it before the end of July, or a week ago, it was before the end of June. And the reason is because the hospitals have become very politically powerful under the Obamacare regime, because there is a tremendous consolidation going on where they're buying up all these, private medical practices, lots of doctor practices and smaller clinics. By one estimate, half the doctors in the country will be employees of hospitals by this year, by the end of this year. So that's what's really going on here. Not to say those other things don't count for anything, but what's driving all the energy is these hospital lobbyists have been in the faces of every Michigan legislator every day, all year long, nonstop, in their offices. They walk from their offices to the floor constantly. They are, we've heard rumors of some of the threats that have been made, which political threats, which I won't pass on because they are just rumors. But that's the kind of game that gets played. And also there are, the other side of it is the promises that are made. And again, we don't know what those are. Those who know aren't talking.
Well, I know you guys do a pretty good,
the game is played in Lansing.
Yeah, you guys do a pretty good job of covering, who's spending what with what legislators during elections. And I guess we can kind of make our own little presumption here that at least I and this radio show and most of the hosts on this radio station will be holding those state legislators accountable. And if they have money reported on their election statements coming from the healthcare lobby, we're going to know about it. And I'm going to be one of the guys leading that charge, you know what, because that is nonsense. We elected Republicans to stop this kind of nonsense, and yet here they are just falling into the pit that, you know, I can see Gretchen Whitmer, obviously, sucking up money from the hospital lobby. That doesn't surprise me in the least bit. That's what Democrats do. But I did not expect this to be coming from Republicans.
And it shows, among other things, how what we have is a political class that, you know, has the R wing and it's D wing, but it's really just one political class. It also, you kind of veer into another area of interest to me, which is that a lot of times the evidence that this stuff is going on doesn't really appear in the campaign finance statements of the next election, because here's what we have now in this year. We have a class of political careerists, people who by the time they make it to the legislature, where their term limited, they only have 6 years in the House, and if they win the musical chairs, they'll get another 8 years in the Senate. But you know, as in musical chairs, not everyone gets that next slot. So that once they get to that point of getting elected to the legislature, their thoughts automatically turn to, okay, what's the next political job that I can go for, where it's an elected job or it's an appointed political position where I don't have to subject myself to the hard accountability of private sector for-profit employment, where I'm, you know, on the board of the DEA that's doling out millions of dollars in borrow and spend projects, or I'm on the MEDC, corporate welfare department board, or I'm a county commissioner, you know, with maybe in a bigger county that has a nice salary and some nice benefits.
Right. So it's basically a revolving door. They get in there, they vote for bureaucracy to grow, and then go back to that bureaucracy when they're done and say, hey, I need an appointment or a job. How about it? And, of course, they oblige them by then giving them a job within the bureaucracy that they helped grow.
There it is. So, you know, with the hospitals, this is a new phenomenon. As I say, it's being stimulated by the Obamacare regime. But But, you know, the kind of things they'll be looking for is, hey, you can be, we'll take care of you. You can be the public information. We'll hire you to be our public information officer, to make statements to the press or whatever. I mean, that's the kind of thing. I'm not pointing any fingers or saying this is what's going on, but it's the kind of thing that happens. So, for example, with the education establishment, which is a, you know, well-known, powerful special interest lobby, we've got a lot of former legislators who are, I mentioned the public information officer job at a community college or with an ISD, intermediate school district, or those kind of things where, you know, it's not like a real private sector for-profit company where you got a bottom line and dollars and cents and, you know, you either make profit or you don't. These are kind of, you know, the loosey-goosey accountability or non-accountability of these kind of government employment of this nature. Not 9-to-5 civil service jobs.
Right.
That's too much like a regular job, but these appointed or elected political jobs.
Are you gentlemen insinuating that a massive government program, a bureaucracy, an influx of people being put on Medicaid is going to be ineffective and inefficient? Is that the insinuation here? Because they've all worked in the past.
Not only that, but we've heard that there's gambling going on at some of those casinos in Detroit.
Right, right.
Hey, Jack, let me ask you this question. Let's assume right now it looks iffy if Medicaid expansion will happen, but let's assume that it does happen. What are some of the specific implications for an individual seeking health care? Let's say all of a sudden something happens to me and I need to go see the doctor and I'm put in the hospital. What's the fallout? What kind of specific examples on the downside of Medicaid expansion can happen to people that aren't on Medicaid, for example?
Right. Well, it's a good question. And the expansion essentially is going to cover three separate populations. One is people, childless adults under 100% of the poverty level who do not qualify for Medicaid under the current standards of the program. And, you know, again, these are not parents, these are not families, these are adults who are childless and able-bodied. They're not disabled or anything. So, you know, the presumption is kind of, hey, get a job. But realistically, we know that a lot of people in that population have problems of various sorts. That Michigan spends some $200 billion on mental health services, which is all state tax dollars, that is pretty much concentrated in that population. And we've got some county programs and different programs that that do provide some physical health care benefits for this population, but it is a hole, so to speak, in the wealth. And it's understandable that a lot of people would like to address that somehow. But the thing is, this is not a new problem. This has been around, you know, for 20 years, and neither side has made it a huge priority in that time to fill that hole. So, you know, again, what's driving it now is the Obamacare thing.
Yeah.
The other population is more interesting, and that's people between 100 to 138% of the poverty level, who, if we don't do the expansion, they will qualify for real life health insurance on the Obamacare exchange, which will be run by the federal government here, and at pretty much no cost to themselves, or very negligible cost. So they'll get much better access to health care services. It won't cost the state a dime, not for the next 3 years, and not for, you know, forever more under that, assuming Obamacare survives. In contrast to the Medicaid expansion, where the state's going to be on the hook for 10% of the cost starting a few years after the expansion starts, which is, you know, it's going to come to $300 million a year from the state budget, from state taxpayers. So for that population, it really makes more sense for Michigan to not accept the expansion. It'll save money, like I said, $300 million a year down the road. And it will give that particular population better health care access than they would if they're just shoveled into Medicaid managed care programs. Think of Medicaid type HMO is what those more or less look like.
Right. Now let me ask you this, Jack. I think I mentioned this in my email to you. Back in May, the Oregon study came out, and what happened was in Oregon, they did an expansion of Medicaid, and they had two populations, the people that by lottery won that coverage and those that didn't. And they tracked both of them, both those groups. And what they found out was, depression-wise, people fared better having health insurance program. But from a health standpoint of diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol levels, the people who had the health care coverage fared no better than the people who didn't have health care coverage. So when Governor Snyder says this is going to save us a lot of money in health costs down the road, is that really true? Do we really know that to be true?
Well, it's complicated. Everything related to this issue is complicated. The Oregon health experiment, as you describe it well, and yes, it showed no improvement, no change in physical health outcomes. However, there is one big asterisk on there, which is it's only been going on for 2 years. So Ulrich Roy, he's a brilliant healthcare expert who writes for Forbes magazine. I think he did a good job of kind of characterizing this result, saying, look, if this was an FDA trial of a new drug being proposed and it got this result, that drug would be summarily rejected by the FDA. So here we're talking about a program that spends, you know, nearly $400 billion a year nationwide, and it's not delivering good health care outcomes. One of the lines that we hear from the hospitals a lot is that there's all this cost shifting going on, you know, of people who are getting uncompensated care. And they hugely exaggerate that. And one of the things that they don't say is that By the way, people on Medicaid use emergency rooms more than people that have no insurance whatsoever. So, you know, again, it gets real complicated, and these, you know, surface, simplistic kind of arguments that you hear, frankly, on both sides, they may not hold water. It's just you have to look deeper on all these different issues. But the you nailed Oregon experiment is so interesting because you had two populations that are identical, except one group won the lottery and the other didn't to get these benefits.
Right. Well, Jack, I want to thank you for taking time out and coming on, and I want you to know that you always have an open mic here at The Drift on Saturdays. So as you dig deeper and find more things, please feel free to contact me. And love having you guys from Michigan CapCon on, because I think you're doing the job that the news media should be doing, which is letting people know the facts, man. I just love Michigan Capital Confidential. You guys all do just marvelous work down there. So, Jack, thank you so much. And like I said, don't be afraid to call me and come on anytime you get an update.
Very good. Thanks for the opportunity, Gary.
Thanks, Jack. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, so there we go. That's Jack McHugh, senior legislative analyst from Michigan CapCon. You know, Jack's
informed.
If you are reading CapCon, you are informed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Do you think our population in general is even capable of digesting that type of relevant information?
You know, I guess that's why I like bringing the smart guys on the show, because then the dumb guys like you and me can bring it down to the level where people can understand it, I guess.
We can translate?
That's right. You know, if somebody like me can understand it, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to get it out there and people have to know about it. And he's right. The mainstream media is not picking this up. I never saw the Oregon study anywhere on the news. Anywhere.
Right.
And as he said, if that were an FDA trial, it would be rejected.
They just gloss over everything, put out some slogans, and that's about it.
I mean, you're spending more money and getting no results, and because it's the federal government, it's okay.
Right.
You know, it's like education. Just last week, you know, Michigan spends way more money than Florida, and we haven't been getting the results. You know what I mean? And it's the same in the world. I think we're 16th in the world for what we do educational-wise, but we're number one on spending money.
Yeah. Are we as high as 16? I thought we were below 20.
No, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
You know what? I often think Rick Snyder coming into office and
Rhino Rick.
Yeah, you know, I mean, who is this guy? This isn't the guy we were hoping for by any means. No. And now he's pushing the Medicaid expansion. And as Dr. Dave Janda says, whose show was on Sunday, he calls him the governor. And I often think of the things that Snyder has done. I remember back on the show Happy Days, in the words of Arthur Fonzarelli, a.k.a. the Fonz. There was one line that really got to me that I've never forgotten. He says, "Where is it written that nerd ruins plan?" Well, Rick Snyder has ruined the plan.
That's right.
Or at least the belief that we had about Republicans coming into office.
Yeah, and Jack hit it on the head. You know, the lobbyists are hitting these Republicans square in the face, either with money or threats or future promises to pass this load of crap. You know, Michigan, it's a load of crap. That's what Medicaid expansion is. And you need to go to the dailydrift.com or GaryWellings.com. I think it's even quicker to get to. I have a list of your state legislators. Call them, email them, pester the heck out of them. Put those phone numbers into your cell phone, and when you're driving home or driving to work, call and say, "Don't do Medicaid."
Right. That's a great resource, your websites that you described, to get a hold of these people.
Yeah. That's all you got to say. Don't do Medicaid expansion, or I'm going to actively campaign against you. I'm not. Mm-hmm. Don't just say I'm not going to vote for you. I will actively campaign against you. I will fund somebody else in the primary.
Right.
That's what you need to do. I mean, it's not that hard. You make the phone calls. You make the emails. As a citizen, you have to do that.
And that's the beauty of a democracy, you know?
Yeah, we each have to do our part. I mean, right. I do it in the paper, and I do it in this. And a lot of people probably think the newspaper and radio is my only job. I have a full-time job, folks.
Oh, yeah. No, and I've mentioned it on this show. You have like three full-time jobs.
I work full-time at a company every week, 50-plus hours, and then I do the radio and the newspaper on the side because I believe that strongly in it. You know what I mean? I do.
Yeah, you need to bottle your energy and sell it to me because I'll take at least a six-pack.
Dude, my energy ends like at 10:10 every night when I pass out in bed. All right, on the other side, we will continue our discussion. We're going to go rapid through a lot of news and opinion. So we'll see you on the other side.
734-822-1600. Give us a call.
Yeah.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Betty Ronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Three Latin American countries now offering admitted NSA leaker Edward Snowden asylum: Bolivia, Nicaragua, and Venezuela.
There are no direct flights from Moscow, where Snowden is believed to be holed up, to Venezuela, but it's possible that he could fly through Cuba to get there.
Fox's Molly Henneberg. Fox News confirming Mohamed El-Baradei has been named interim Egyptian prime minister. This is security forces in Egypt stand by after a night of violence reacting to the ouster of elected president Mohamed Morsi.
The biggest protests were here in Cairo, where the head of Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood called for the military to stay out of politics. At least three demonstrators were shot as they approached the building where it's believed the deposed president is being held by the army.
Fox Radio's Kimberly Adams in Cairo. Several people reported missing, at least 1,000 evacuated after a train derailment, crash, and fire in Lac Magantique, Quebec. Fox News. We report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enna Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham! Talk 1600.
DBM VoiceWorks.
Audiobooks, corporate training videos, PowerPoint presentations, movie theater announcements, voicemail systems, and voiceovers for television commercials. Whatever your need, DBM VoiceWorks is here for you. To learn more about DBM VoiceWorks, visit dbmvoiceworks.com. That's dbmvoiceworks.com.
Hi, this is Glenn Sylvanus inviting you to tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. for my show, Ask Mr. Sold. We'll cover every aspect of real estate, residential, commercial, and more. Plus, you'll hear from leading experts on topics like appraisals, real estate law, inspections, and lending. Send your questions to ask@mrsold.com, and don't forget to tune in every Sunday at 5 right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
All right, well, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch the Drift with myself and Brandon Drake joining me in the studio.
Brandon Drake with a donut in his mouth.
With a donut in his mouth, and of course, producing today, Derek Stone. Thank you, Derek.
Sure thing.
And so, lie to me. Why is it that the Obama administration lies about everything? Everyone. Even the slightest, smallest, stupidest thing, they just got to lie.
Have to lie and not held accountable.
Yeah. I'm holding
them accountable. One goes with the
other. You and I are holding them accountable today.
Right. That's true.
You know, there was a CBS reporter who tweeted that during the Egyptian, what they're calling it, the military attack. I won't call it a coup because I don't believe it is a coup. I think the military is standing by the people, which is their job. And while the President Morsi was being ousted by the military in Egypt, John Kerry was hanging out on his yacht. Now, I don't know how long he was there. I don't blame the man for stopping, as we were joking earlier. I have to get my yachtsman's cap. I've got a favorite sweater I got to pick up. Well, fine, you know, go. Nobody's blaming you for stopping by the yacht on your way to the airport or whatever. Now, if you were hanging out, having a cocktail, yucking it up with some friends or fishing, maybe that's a little different story. I don't know that he was doing that. But the State Department said, oh, absolutely not. That's an outrage that you would say Secretary of State Kerry was hanging out on his yacht during such an important time.
Well, you know what it is? It's just the word yacht. Okay, so you associate this multi-millionaire that he basically got by marrying into money.
Right.
And he's on this yacht, so it makes him appear he's not one of us. He's not one of the people. And so they're very touchy about that. Yeah, you know, it's like when the first George Bush was always out playing golf. You know, like before the Persian Gulf War, they made such a big deal about it. He'd be on his boat or playing golf. It's like, you know, yeah, they go crazy about it.
And never played as much golf as Obama. I think Obama's broken all records on golf. But the fact that they lied about it, they're like, no, he wasn't there. Yeah. Well, it's come habitual to find out he was there, and they had to retract their statement. So, you know, what is it about the Obama administration's personnel and the Department of State over the last 3 years, 4 years, whatever, has been run by your favorite.
Hillary Clinton.
Yes. Okay. So she's instituted a band of liars for our State Department. These are the people that are representing us as Americans around the world.
Do you know who the chief consultant is to the State Department on that subject of lying? Bill Clinton. He's the best. When you're going to lie, you got to get advised by the best.
I was not on that boat.
Well, it depends on how you define yacht.
How do you define on?
And is.
Yes.
Is on the yacht.
You know,
how do you define is, on, and yacht?
Yes. So, once again, the Clintons, I'm going to blame Hillary for this. You know what? You're the joker that left these people in charge. What's press secretary, spinner-in-chief, was there to say to the press, oh, no, Secretary Kerry was not. Come on, he was there. Why did he just have to stop by for a sweater?
Right. Just be straightforward for once.
You know, it's not
anything.
I would not, you know, I don't like the man as an elected official, but I would not have faulted him for stopping by his boat to get a jacket or his favorite cocktail or whatever. You know, maybe he needed slippers for his trip to Egypt. I don't
his
know.
His favorite girlfriend.
But why do they got to lie? Why do they have to right. lie like that?
Yeah.
Well, let's segue ourselves into another Clinton story, which is all that money. We've kind of forgotten about Haiti, right? Remember the earthquake and everything that happened and the money poured in. Well, you know, most of the people are still living in tents and shacks because despite the fact that we've put billions of dollars into Haiti, nothing's happening. People are still dying of dysentery and cholera in Haiti
mm-hmm.
because they don't have a place to live or safe drinking water or anything else. So roughly half.
You're saying they don't have a pot to, well, forget that one.
They don't have a lot to, I get you. I see where you're going with that. Roughly half of the $1.14 billion that the U.S. government allocated to help Haiti recover from the 2010 earthquake, 3 years ago now, has gone to wasteful projects, with the single largest chunk, $170.3 million, going to a failed port and power plant adventure heavily promoted by Bill Clinton and the State Department under Hillary Clinton. Can you say scandal?
So, somehow I think Bono from U2 has to be involved as well in this.
Nice.
You know, it just fits.
You know what? Off subject. Did you hear that he's a religious guy?
Bono is.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Because I remember
when
he's
a story. I was going to cover it, and I was like, you know, it's not that important. I'm not going to cover it. But that, you know what?
That's interesting because I remember when they were becoming big in the 80s, and I was a big fan.
Yeah.
He said he's totally against not against religion, but he's not into religion because it's torn his country apart, meaning Ireland.
Right. Yeah. And that's true. I guess I can see that. But you know, as you get older,
because
we all get older, you start thinking, you know what? I'm going to hedge my bet a bit.
Right.
You know, maybe there is a God. I'm going to be a little more religious. I'm going to go to church.
And we become a little less egotistical and thinking we can conquer the world and that we're invincible.
Right.
Right.
Right. Anyways, but let's get back to the Clintons.
Okay? See, that's my job here is to sidetrack you.
You are sidetracking.
Yes, I'm good.
So Hillary is probably without a doubt going to run for president. And I'm going to beat this till 2016. This woman is not fit to be the president of the United States. What you see in Obama, you're going to get the same thing or worse with Hillary Clinton. If you want more lying, if you want more scandal, if you want more spending, you're going to get it with Hillary Clinton. So for the love of Pete, don't even think of, if you're a Democrat, I'm begging you, look for another candidate, please. Someone with a little common sense, someone without all the baggage.
You know, Gary, it's to the point where with her, I'm going to beg a listener to call in and tell me how she's qualified to be president. Just one thing that she's accomplished positive in her political career. One thing.
734-822-1600.
Anything. I'm desperate.
You think there's a liberal out there who would actually listen to the show and call in?
You know, if there are, and you can teach me something about Hillary Clinton that I can have a good feeling about, like, you know what? I never considered that. I would love to hear it.
You know, it wasn't 8-9 months ago. I liked the way her hair looked. She did something different with it. Just saying. Not that I find her in any way attractive. So, yeah, don't get your hopes up.
I'm lost for words there, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I don't think anybody can actually call in and say, you know, I always think of Whitewater investigation to start with, you know. Will that ever get brought up again? Probably not.
I think of Bosnia. I think of Libya. I think of all the debacles with her. And just, you know, they were praising her when she left the State Department that she set a record for most miles traveled or most number of countries visited.
Most money spent.
It's like, okay, so what does that mean? You know, if I run up and down the stairs 1,000 times and nobody else has done that, am I qualified to be president?
You know, you are more than qualified than Hillary Clinton. Greg,
so
I will vote for you should you put your hat in the ring.
That's the only accolade that I've really heard attributed to her, that she visited all these countries. But what did she accomplish? You know, we're in dire straits right now under her as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Worse than ever.
And there's going to be more to come. So let's switch gears because I wanted to cover this last week and we didn't get through it. Let's go to the Zimmerman trial. Any surprises there? Derek, are you surprised at the Zimmerman trial?
I can't say that I am, I guess, at this point. I to be honest, I haven't been following it enough. I've heard bits and
pieces. Well, then
you're
probably like 80% of the American public.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is this related to the Zimmerman telegram?
I don't even. Is this a joke?
No.
All right.
I've got nothing.
I was backing this up way when it first happened. You know what I mean? The media was all over this. The first reports was it was a white-on-black killing, so it's all got to be racial.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, then come to find out, just because his name is Zimmerman doesn't mean he's a white guy. He happens to be Hispanic, very Hispanic-looking. His mother is very Hispanic-looking. So if it's anything that's racial, it would be Hispanic on a black American thing. But
if it had been a black man that killed a black man, you'd never even hear about this.
Well, you don't hear about any of the black-on-black killings in Chicago, and it happens every weekend.
Every 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that this story got any of the coverage that it did. You know, it's those race baiters that put it out there and drove it to where it is. Now, so I've been watching the trial. I've been following quite closely. And the media seems to be like, oh my, what a surprise that the chief investigator says, I believe George, what the heck is his first name? Zimmerman, anyways, is telling the truth. And that all the evidence is pointed to, you know, for me, I'm looking at the forensic evidence. You know, show me more of that. You could talk about the moms arguing whose son is screaming on the audio tape, you know. But the guy that stuck his head out the door and testified for the prosecution is the one that said, yeah, it looked like Zimmerman, the guy that didn't die, was on the bottom and that blows were being rained down upon him.
Mm-hmm.
That evidence alone tells me that, you know what, hey, he was not out to murder somebody. Okay, the fact that, look, forensic evidence again, point-blank range shooting, the powder burns on the clothing of Trayvon Martin show that the gun was right there. You know what? You don't murder somebody by getting right up to him chest to chest and pulling out a gun. That's not what you do.
Right.
Okay? And then one picture of Zimmerman's face, one picture of the back of his head tells you the man took a beating.
Right.
Okay? He was taking a beating, was getting the best of him. And whether he felt his life was in danger or not, I would assume if someone was beating my head against this man and breaking my nose, or at least making it look the way it looked in those pictures, I think I would pull my gun too.
And otherwise, what's the point of having a gun and a stand your ground law? What's the point?
Exactly.
Right, because now you're, you know, in all this mess.
I mean, I it will be a travesty if they convict this man of even second-degree murder. I think it's just an absolute outrage. We're going to run into a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk, we're going to probably get done with Zimmerman. We got a lot to cover, so we'll move on. See you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Lighthouse Counseling Center, located at 300 Old Creek Drive in Saline, will open their doors on Tuesday, July 9th from 7 to 8 p.m. for anyone who would like to join in the discussion of redefining life after retirement. This event is free to the public. Everyone is welcome. Lighthouse Counseling Center is not an affiliate of Saline Assembly of God. For more information, call 734-316-2102 or visit lighthousecounselingcenter.com. What options are available for teachers now that they are not required to join a union as a condition of employment? Retake Our Gov addresses this question as it welcomes Mr. Gary Beckner, Executive Director of the Association of American Educators, to its July meeting. Mr. Beckner will provide an overview of AAE and compare and contrast it to a union organization. Additionally, Mr. Beckner will be joined by Mr. Vincent Vernuccio, Director of Labor Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Mr. Vernuccio will discuss the legal aspects of resigning from a union. This informational meeting will be held on July 9th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Memories Restaurant, 1840 South Old US 23 in Brighton. The public is welcome. There will be a mobile health fair with free health and dental screenings for adults and kids on August 1st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You'll be able to meet with a doctor and get help finding follow-up care with local providers who accept sliding scale. This free mobile health fair is sponsored by area Presbyterian churches, and it will be held at First Presbyterian of Ypsilanti, 300 North Washington in Ypsilanti. This event will take place rain or shine. For more information, visit firstpresbyterian.org or call 734-482-1525.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com.
I'm Gary Wellings, Chief Editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in the Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to 6 times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that, and your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
The UPS Store is your one-stop shop for printing, copying, binding, and laminating. No job is too big or too small. Let owner Gail Berry handle your document needs while you take care of business. She stocks a variety of papers and can professionally finish your documents. Print brochures, business cards, flyers, menus, banners, and more. The UPS Store, Joy Road and Morton Taylor in Canton, 734-455-1313.
This is Theron saying visit my Tea Party Patriot pal Gail at the UPS Store.
Hey friends, Theron here. I had the weirdest dream the other day. I was giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a goat. It was a cute goat.
Crazy.
It was crazy, and the goat was trapped beneath a burning oil tanker on an I-94. And through the window of the tanker, I could hear the driver. He was listening to the radio. That is before he was engulfed in flames. He was listening to the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Crazy. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
This has got to be the Obama theme song, I think, right?
It fits.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning into The Drift. Welcome joining me today, Brandon Drake, producing
or,
me.
Or whoever I am, somebody.
Brandon Drake. The Drake.
I am somebody.
You are somebody. Yeah. Dude. See, I'm here to pump you up, brother.
You have to pump you up.
Yes. So, you know, the other big news this week was Egypt, of course. The never-ending spring, the Arab Spring. It's just keeps springing along, doesn't it?
You know, it was really interesting. I listened to a news story where Egyptians in the street, this is before Morsi was expelled, and Egyptians are in the street holding up anti-American signs, you know, which is par for the course. But I assume, probably like most people, that these were Islamists, you know, that hate America, death to America, the great Satan, all that kind of stuff that you hear out of Iran. But in fact, what it was Egyptians, the Democrat secular side, that thought that the United States was too close to the Muslim Brotherhood, like we were supporting them too strongly, which is true. But it was very refreshing and surprising to see people actually holding up anti-American signs for maybe the right reason.
Yeah, imagine.
Finally.
And now those signs are anti-Obama signs because they believe he's supporting, and is he, is the question. I mean, I can understand parsing their words. So the administration had been very quiet on this. They haven't called it a coup. And frankly, I think I've already said, my opinion is it is not a coup. The military's job is to abide by the Constitution and the will of the people. When millions of people stand up and say, we don't like this Muslim Brotherhood, this Sharia-lawed Constitution that's coming in, because you're making our wives wear crazy clothes and our wives can't go out in the street and everything else.
Yeah, all the repression of the press and everything else that's happening.
Yeah, so they stood up and said, no, enough.
Yeah, and just attacking the Christians that are 10% of the population there.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of, I think secular Muslim Egyptians there, you know, they're like, they feel like Christians are part of their, you know, country.
I'm kind of happy. Sorry to say that.
Yeah.
I know people are dying over there. 36 people dead so far in clashes. But I believe that, you know, maybe the taste of Western freedom, it may not have been politically there under Mubarak, but they were able to watch the TV they want, to dress the way they want, to eat what they want, to go out with a girl, to date, and not do the crazy things that you have to live by under Sharia law.
There was a civilized freedom there.
There was some freedom there, maybe not politically, but they had freedoms. Where 1 year under Morsi, and they saw what was coming.
What was coming, yeah. And I think as Americans, too, that if you pay attention at all, that we consider the Egyptian military as a voice of reason. And, of course, stability.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Based on, you know, especially compared to what was elected and put in power there. Now, we were joking before we went on the air that voter remorse over there, you know, we hope that a lot of the Egyptians that voted for Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood have now opened their eyes and will realize that that was a big mistake. But then we compared, like, okay, that voter remorse to our voter remorse here. Yes. You know, I wonder, you know.
Yeah. Well, we know that under our system, we only have to put up with Obama three more years.
Right.
I'm hoping. Unless people vote for
Michelle Obama.
Oh, God. Oh, dude, you just,
You didn't hear my theory about a year ago?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Do I want to hear
this? No, you don't want to hear it. It's too scary. That there's, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be totally, totally unreasonable.
A Hillary-Michelle ticket? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean,
Michelle-Hillary ticket?
But think about,
she goes second fiddle again.
Think of Hillary's experience. She doesn't have any better experience than Michelle Obama has. So, I mean. Can you imagine that? Michelle
Obama
being elected.
You just gave me nightmares for the next month. I thought,
It's happened. Like with senators. The senator dies or term limits or what have you, and then the wife runs. It's happened at that level. So it's a possibility, people. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that is. It's you hit it right on the head. The people of Egypt are having voter remorse in the highest form of voter remorse.
Remorse for Morsi.
And, you know, I can see probably they've got a lot of months, maybe longer, of, you know, where do you draw the line, too? If you try to exclude the Muslim Brotherhood and drive them underground and make them illegal and unable to run for office, they're going to start blowing things up.
Right.
You know? So I guess you have to find that fine line and say, you guys can be included. But you know what? We're not going Sharia law because not everyone believes in your Sharia law. Take that constitution and throw it away and start. You know what bothers me? How come nobody copies our constitution?
Right.
We're the longest running democracy in the world, I think, right? How come nobody just says, we're going to take that constitution from the United States and we're going to use it?
Right. Here's the model. We're not going to tweak it. We're going to use it and see what happens. What do you have to lose?
What have you got to lose? It worked here with a bunch of misfits from all over the globe, English, French. You know, Spanish, it worked.
I mean, and look in Europe, you know, they have these coalition governments where you have to, like, you know, combine 20 different parties and you all hate each other and you create this crazy little government that falls after a year or two or can't get anything done, like in Italy. What's the purpose of that? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think I would just copy it and use it. If you need to tweak it a little, but, you know.
We can license
Bill of Rights, those Bill of Rights are pretty basic, pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Abide by them.
We can license it and collect royalties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. This is related to Morsi. Now, there was a story on the Daily Drift, of course. If you're not reading the Daily Drift, you should be. www.thedailydrift.com. I put these stories on here that you won't find in the mainstream media. And one of them is Waleed Shabbat, who used to be a Muslim Brotherhood guy. He's now a reporter and peace activist who renounced his association with the Muslim Brotherhood. He has a pretty decent website, and it's the Shabbat Foundation, that's S-H-O-E-B-A-T, and a Libyan intelligence document has been produced that directly implicates Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood president, Mohamed Morsi, in the attacks on American installations in Benghazi on 9/11. Okay, does this have anything to do, and this is dated June 30th, so this is recent, does this have anything to do with the overthrow? Now, Obama, of course, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, he's conveniently ignorant.
I'm assuming, you know, if you go, this is a long story. I can't go that deep in the woods. We don't have enough time to do this. This is on the website. Go check it out. There's videos, and unfortunately, they're in Arabic, but you can get the gist of the situation by watching the videos, reading the story as you go along, and the Muslim Brotherhood may well have been behind these attacks in Benghazi. And does that have something to do with what's going on here? I don't know. I mean, the time frame sure seems right.
Right.
You know, maybe there's more to the reason of him being removed from office than just, you know. Of course, the military doesn't want to lose that $1.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can see their point, you know. And they're treading thin water because under our own laws here, if it is labeled as a military coup,
right,
the United States must say, no more money. We're going to freeze those assets or freeze that money coming to you. So, you know, I'm hoping they quickly at least make the pretense of running elections in Egypt and moving on. Oh, the time's up already.
We'd have to say, no more money for you. Come back 1 year.
1 year.
1 year. You know, we're going to hijack Ed's show, you know, and just take over the next hour. Yes. Just kidding, people. Just kidding, Ed.
Ed will be on as normal.
Yeah, Ed will be on.
All right, until next week, stay informed. Go to thedailydrift.com, get your information and your headlines, and we will see you next week.
Thanks.